Next on BYUSN, basketball head coach Kevin Young and the Cougars officially announced the signing of Mawit Mag and the hiring of assistant coach Will Voigt from the G League. We'll discuss what each of them will bring to Provo. ESPN's Sean Farnham back on the program for a deep dive into just how talented BYU's roster is and where BYU ranks among Big 12 teams right now.
Day two of our best BYU quarterback bracket continues with the 8-9 matchup between Zacharias Wilson and John Beck. And Top 5 Tuesday features the best BYU players in Major League Baseball history.
Is Danny Ainge on that list? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, June 4th. I'm Spencer Linton. He is BYU party coordinator, has been for a long time, Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, I'm on the party planning committee with Angela.
It is everybody. Your birthday.
It is your birthday. At Inside OK State, I built the worst possible college ever. Here it is. This is a tweet. BYU for parties. Utah for Twitter fan base, which is pretty funny. Other Big 12 teams. Location, Waco, Texas. Stadium, Kansas. Yeah.
Kansas will have a nice stadium in the near future, yeah. But right now, it's
sure.
Rough.
Good for them. Parties at BYU. Yeah, if you want to awkwardly dance, at the Riviera on the second floor at 10:30 at night, make sure you're out by 12. That's the place for you.
See, I had heard that parties at BYU were super strange and awkward. I had great experiences. I want to know what weird parties everybody was going to.
Compared to the average party, Spence, there's a certain liquid that's missing typically.
Still. Yeah. You can have fun without that, and it doesn't have to be weird.
Our audience isn't arguing that. It's everyone else, Spence.
Fair enough. All rise and shout for Provo parties and for what's trending.
He's probably the best college defender I've seen in a long, long time. That defense is Mag and Mag alone.
The things that Kevin Young are doing are just mind-blowing. Really, it's incredible what has accomplished the last 5-6 weeks.
Let's get to it. Kevin Young and BYU men's basketball officially announced the signing of four-star transfer Mawit Mag from Rutgers yesterday.
That's how you say his name. That's how I've learned.
We have been told it is Mawit Mag.
Yep.
Out of Rutgers, as I mentioned, 6'7 forward, who hails from Australia, has 1 year of eligibility remaining. Mag averaged just a hair over 9 points a game and about 4 rebounds per contest last season, this coming off of an ACL injury from the season prior, and he is a defensive specialist.
Kevin Young had this to say about Mawit. Mawit is an outstanding young man who's overcome a lot of adversity in his life. We're thrilled to welcome him and his family to BYU. He has established himself as one of the elite defenders in college basketball, and we love the edge that he plays with. Mawit's experience, energy, and toughness are welcome additions to our program.
Let's continue with this reputation that Mawit has for being a lockdown defender. Frankly, he'll be the best defender on BYU's team, and it won't be close from day one. Here is Maryland's head coach, Kevin Willard, who obviously coached against Mawit last season and in previous seasons, about his defensive abilities after playing against Rutgers this previous year.
They would have went to the NCAA tournament last year if Mag doesn't get hurt. He's probably the best college defender I've seen in a long, long time. I mean, he blitzes pick and rolls. He switches out on pick and rolls. If you get beat, he's there. He is really, I mean, Steve's always been a great defensive coach, and he is a phenomenal defensive coach. But that defense is Mag and Mag alone.
Okay, lofty praise from a relevant head coach who has a very firm idea of what type of player Mawit Mag is. He straight up said that he was the X factor. They had made the NCAA tournament. If he doesn't get hurt, Jerem, how do you assess this overall signing by BYU and what it does for the Cougars roster?
We broke it down yesterday, but yeah, I'm super excited about it. He's going to be the best defender on the team right away. You probably start him. He's going to be 19 months removed from an ACL, should be good to go. Is what I've heard. It's super exciting to have a specific guy that meets a specific need. Brandon Dunson told us after he was hired, what types of players are you going after? And one of them was a 6'6 or 6'7 wing defender. I don't know if he was specifically referencing Mag in that, but they definitely got a guy that can come in. And like we talked about yesterday, didn't shoot a high percentage from three per se. He's not going to be asked to be knocking down threes for BYU consistently.
No, but
he's
going
to be
capability.
Asked to defend.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made 12 last year in limited action. But, yeah, that's not – don't need that. He's good in transition. I like him as a passer. Like, his high-low ability and penetration and dish off to a guy for a dunk is really high. So I'm excited, man. He meets a need, and 4 years of experience in the Big Ten from Rutgers. We have to limit our Rutgers jokes now because Mag's on the roster, but here we go.
Well, it's not Rutgers football, Jerem, okay?
Just Rutgers generally, Spence.
I know it's one guy's opinion, but, man, that opinion seems to carry some weight because we're talking about a bona fide head basketball coach at Maryland, for crying out loud. And so for Mwet Mag to garner that type of attention from a person who carries that weighty of an opinion is something. I'm excited to see what he brings to BYU defensively, for sure. He's just one of a bunch of outstanding moves for the roster from Kevin Young in recent time. Joe Lunardi has responded looking at BYU's roster and given the Cougars this past weekend a projected 9 seed. Mm-hmm. So with how this offseason has gone, with the roster rebuild, with the staff rebuild, would you take a 9 seed right now, guaranteed, or play out the season?
Play it out, man. I think BYU can do better. You think about some of those BYU teams in the mid-2000s that were kind of climbing out of some real holes as a program, and then they start to get to the tourney. Initially, they're kind of 12-seed-ish, and then you get into the early Dave Rose era, they're 8-9 seeds, and those are tough games, right? 50-50s, BYU's trying to get over the hump. Then you had a special team with Jimmer Fredette and whatnot, junior 7 seed, get a win, lose. That was all chalk, right?
Sure.
Chalk meaning what's expected happens. And then you get that 3 seed, and then your chalk into the Sweet 16. Can BYU, I think the ceiling for what year one could be, who knows? Feels like the high would be 4 or 5 seed. The low would be, yeah, like an 8 or 9 if you have injuries or it's not quite working out, whatever. You're making the tourney, though. So I would not take a 9. I want to play it out because I think BYU can kind of be in that 6-7 range realistically.
If BYU is a 9 seed, then they probably have finished in the bottom half of the conference, which is not necessarily a bad thing because the conference is so good. And we learned from ESPN's Fran Fraschilla last week that BYU fans should anticipate the real version of the Big 12. He said, not to take anything away from what Mark Pope and BYU did in year one, but it was a, to some degree, watered down version of the Big 12 with injuries. It just, Kansas was not what they usually are.
They benefited from it.
The Cougars took advantage.
I say the same thing with Utah and the Pac-12 a little bit, where, well, you know who wasn't super great yet? USC and Oregon. And they walked through the door.
Even Washington.
And then they had, yeah. And then they beat USC, right, to get into the Pac-12, to their credit. But, like, sometimes when other teams are down, Texas and Oklahoma, like, Texas was good, but they weren't great. Kansas was down. Yeah, now you welcome in Arizona. Colorado is going to lose some pieces, but they were a pretty good team last year too. Like, the Big 12 is legit. We'll talk to Sean Farnham about it coming up too.
If BYU is a 9 seed, then they've probably finished like around 9th place in the Big 12. I too think that BYU is a top half Big 12 team. There are 16 now. So even if BYU finishes in 7th or 8th, Jerem, that could very well give the Cougars another 6 seed. In the NCAA tournament, because it's so top heavy.
And I don't tie Big 12 standing to a specific seed as much as
no,
you do there.
No, I'm not tying it to a seed. I'm just saying, like, you, the teams, like, there are right now, there are 6 teams that are projected 3 seeds or better.
Therefore, if you were 9th, you could still be like 6. You really could. Like, it all depends on your resume. What are the wins? What are the good wins you have? What are the bad losses you have? Last year, BYU had 0 bad losses. What about 0 bad losses? And they had a bunch of good wins, and that's why they were 6. In fact, they could have been a 5 if things had shaken out right, but they didn't.
Think about it. Baylor, Iowa State, Houston, Arizona, Texas Tech apparently has gotten better. Kansas is probably, along with UConn, the number one or number two team in the country going into the season.
Cincinnati got a lot better too, by the way.
For sure.
I've been manually tracking the portal in the Big 12. I got a sheet. It's crazy.
But if BYU is a 9 seed, to me that screams like, okay, you're middle of the pack. Maybe you're in the bottom half of the Big 12. Just because the conference is so good.
If it's that good, you might be 10 or 11.
Maybe.
If it's that good.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild that we're there, but I'm with you. I think BYU can do a little bit better. They're a top half team, and I think BYU is good enough to get to equal what they did last year. 6 seed, maybe a 7 seed. Awesome. Now, if you told me guaranteed 7 seed right now, I'm leaning towards like I might take that.
Because I think BYU's
might take that.
Projected for me into a 6-7 space. We'll see. Topic two. Yesterday, Kevin Young also announced the hiring of Will Voigt as the lead assistant coach. Voigt comes to BYU after spending last season as the head coach of the Austin Spurs in the G League. Voigt's been a head coach in the NBA G League, Europe, and international level.
He's done some great things internationally.
Man. His LinkedIn's good.
Big time. And he is a guy who is going to love Mawit Mag, speaking of the defensive specialist, because Will Voigt is a defensive-minded tactician when it comes to designing defenses. So BYU is going to benefit hugely from the cohesion that he has with Kevin Young. Kevin Young's the offensive coordinator, if you will. Will Voigt, I believe, is going to be the defensive coordinator for BYU.
Like, yep.
Speaking out what I think will happen. It hasn't been confirmed to us, but it feels like that will be the case.
That's not an aggressive take.
For sure. Yeah. Any guy that's coached at Metro State in the RMAC, Jerem, like, sign me up.
Denver, right?
2000 was Metro in Denver, yes.
I called a Metro State BYU hockey game on BYU TV one time.
There you go.
Random.
2002 to 2003. So he started as an intern in the NBA and then became like an ops guy or...
He was intern with the Clippers.
A video coordinator with the Spurs.
He was video with Spurs.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Then goes to Texas as assistant Metro State. He's been everywhere. Like, he has traveled the world, and most recently with the Austin Spurs in the G League. It's just amazing that Kevin Young has these connections. You can take a G League head coach in the G League and say, come to BYU and be my defensive coordinator.
And they were 20-14. It wasn't like they were bad or anything either.
No.
Contrary to what one person tried to tweet at me all day yesterday about.
This is a massive get for BYU. And when Kevin Young talks about, I'm just excited to see what we can do defensively and to learn defensively. Because Kevin Young says, I'm not the defensive guy. I'm excited to learn. Will Voigt is the guy that's going to help teach him the ways of the defense.
He invented this peel switch defense that the Suns actually used. So it's basically like if you get beat off the dribble, you go and guard the guy whose defender shifted over. You just go right there, which is interesting.
This quote from Kevin Young. Will is someone I've had great respect for. He's a creative thinker, very organized, and has an unmatched work ethic. Will has years of head coaching experience in the NBA G League. Sound familiar? This is all Kevin Young, too, when people talk about him.
Yeah.
Continues. As well as vast experience coaching all over the world, including in the Rio Olympics, he's not afraid to push the envelope creatively, especially on the defensive end of the floor. Will is a high-level coach who I will lean on heavily. End quote.
Yeah, he's very experienced. Been a head coach in Norway, the Bakersfield Jam, as well as the Austin Spurs. Been an assistant in China, not at the same time as Jimmer. Head coach in Germany, Egypt. He led Angola and Nigeria's national teams. He led Nigeria to the 2016 Olympics in Rio.
Yeah, they went to unprecedented levels with him.
Which is pretty cool. So, this guy is choosing to be an assistant at BYU. This is awesome. Like, it's not – you have various dudes of experience, right? Like, Brandon Dunson's the young up-and-comer. Chris Burgess is the – highly touted collegiate player who played professionally all over the world and has that experience, cup of coffee, or post him in BYU's case, in the NBA. Obviously, the connections locally to Utah Valley, Utah, and BYU.
Your in-state recruiter, your big man recruiter.
Like Will Voigt brings a really nice resume to the table, and he'll run the defense, it would seem. So that's a big deal. This is super cool. And BYU still has two assistant coach positions to fill. You still have to announce a director of operations, whether you keep Nate Austin or you go with someone else. Are they keeping Michael Davy at SNC? What are you doing with video/analytics? So there are several positions to either confirm that you're keeping the same guy as last year or you bring in new people. So I'm excited, not to mention two scholarships. There's still a lot of men's hoop stuff going on, not to mention today's day two of summer workouts.
Mark Pope got hired by Kentucky on April 12th. Now, if we had asked the question of the day that I'm again going to present on April 13th, 1,000,000% of you would have been like, yes, I will take it right now.
Yes. Yes.
But things have evolved
and
very quickly and not even 2 months. But our question of the day stands is ESPN's Joe Lunardi has BYU as a 9 seed in his latest bracketology. Would you take that right now or play out the season. At Puka Jimmer on X says,
what a great handle.
Play out the season. Take this offseason and the non-conference schedule to get some chemistry and see how good this team can be by conference play. I think pundits are underrating this team. Frankly, I don't think BYU is being underrated right now. They showed up at number 36 in John Rothstein's Power 45 yesterday.
Well, I think what Puka Jimmer, it'd be so fun if that was their combined actual account and they know, is if, you know, I think he thinks, like us, like, hey, BYU could be in the top 25. Like, no one's really putting them there right now. I think BYU's one solid piece away from, like, more people considering
them. Man, is BYU going to get votes in the preseason top 25?
Maybe.
They might get a few.
I think they're one piece away from kind of being more in that mix.
I still think they need to earn it, though. So, for me, it would be – it would feel strange.
Young.
It would feel strange if BYU was a preseason top 25 team because it's like, I need to see them play at least
a few
games.
More proven commodities. Obviously, a Russian future lottery pick is in the mix in two ESPN top 100s in Brody Kozlowski and Elijah Crawford. We're excited about them, but they haven't played a minute of college ball.
I'm coming around more and more to the idea of the Bronco Mendenhall idea of let's play a few seasons or play a few weeks of the season and then rank the top 25 just so we have a better
it's
idea.
It's not good for marketing.
But it's not.
You like, hey, we
you
got
want,
number 18,
you
we're
want
number
preseason,
six.
Yeah. Yes, you want context for the games to make people watch. I understand it, but
that's what the college football playoff committee's for.
With Puka Jimmer, like, give me 3 weeks into the season, yeah, BYU might just be a top 25 team.
We'll see. More importantly is net and where you're on the NCAA tournament. But that's fun too. Make sure you tune in Friday for a BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue special. Great stories from BYU football players like Cody Epps, Jay Hill, Eddie Heckard. Friday noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, ESPN's Sean Farnham. In his offseason, but he's still rolling. What he thinks of what Kevin Young has pulled off in under 2 months, and are the Cougars better on paper right now than they were last year? This is BYU SN.
BYU's been crushing it on the recruiting trail.
It was shocking how good Kevin Young was, how relatable he is, how likable he is, how good he is, how intelligent he is. People love him. People trust him. Is he really that good? Yes.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Lofty words for Kevin Young. Hasn't coached a game yet, but he's already taking on this pseudo-hero status for what he's done for BYU in the recruiting realm, not just with players, but with his coaching staff as well. To discuss all of that, we welcome in longtime ESPN college basketball insider and a college basketball standout once upon a time at UCLA. He is Sean Farnham back on BYU SN. Sean, what's on your mind this morning? How are you?
Nothing. You guys are ruining my Madden game, so I'll just put that on pause real quick. It's off-season Farnham mode. I got my hat on, I got my video games playing, and I got to talk to you two guys. All right, let's do it.
Let's go.
It's the hardest thing you'll do all day.
Oh, we're talking hoop in June? What are we doing here?
I know. Well, Kevin Young has made it a reality for BYU fans.
We have a daily show, Sean.
Yeah, you guys do a great job with it, by the way. You know, just the continuation of the energy and the passion which you bring is similar to what Coach Young has brought to BYU since he's arrived on campus.
All right, Sean, of everything that has happened since Mark Pope departed for Kentucky and BYU hired Kevin Young, what has impressed you the most or maybe surprised you the most about how BYU has rallied the troops and held a core together under Kevin Young?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a challenge to rally the troops under somebody that could have very easily been an NBA head coach. Like, I think the starting point is BYU got a man that's going to coach their team that was destined to be a head coach in the NBA, could have been last year, certainly I think would have been in the realm of discussion for a lot of the openings that are currently available in the NBA right now. And oh, by the way, he gets to bring the cachet of, I work with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. With him to the recruiting trail. And I think that that's something that has cut through, and we've seen that resonate already in the way that he's put his roster construction, the tentacles of BYU, the power of BYU to reach far and wide, to bring in a recruiting class and grouping, whether it's transfers, whether it's international, or whether it's domestic recruits. That I think has solidified BYU's roster to be a highly competitive roster in what will be an even more competitive Big 12 than it was a season ago.
BYU is seemingly recruiting at a different level thanks to Kevin Young's not only network and experience, but just what he brings to the table, right, and what you mentioned. There's a certain recruit whose name we can't mention. Others have mentioned him from Russia.
Can I mention him?
You can.
Am I allowed to mention him?
You
because
can.
I don't want to get any, you know, I know it's a gray area.
You can, but we cannot. That kind of guy has never come to BYU, who's not a member of the church, not from Utah, has no ties, but he wants to get to the NBA, and he believes in what Kevin Young can do for him. What does that kind of signing of that kind of guy mean for a program like BYU?
That guy is really good, by the way. I'll just stay with that guy so that nobody gets in trouble here. But that guy, if you haven't looked on YouTube, if you haven't gone, you know, I have an account on Synergy, so I can go back and watch every single game he's ever played. He's a pro. Like, he flat out is a pro. With his size, 6'8", 6'9", his ability to pass, his athleticism, his aggressiveness, he's a tenacious defensive player. He's got the potential to be a lottery pick. And you're right. You haven't seen that guy show up at BYU. You haven't. And specifically when not a member of the church. And so to be able to go out internationally and get that caliber of player, I think that opens up the door, not only, especially if it goes well, for not only for him, but for other players to follow in that same likeness, which expands the recruiting base. And I think that's something that Mark Pope was very much so aware that was a necessity. And I think that when you look at the Big 12 and the fact that the Big 12's depth and strength and the overall number of programs, like Cincinnati's had a great offseason, by the way. Wes Miller's, their roster construction is really good, and they're going to be very strong next year as well. And that goes with the top of the conference and the knowns in which we expect to see in the Big 12 in particular. But I think for BYU to be there on a year-in and year-out basis, the recruiting pool has to expand. The type of player that sees BYU as a destination has to expand. And I think Coach Young has done a tremendous job of that in this recruiting and roster construction period of time. And I think that player is going to be an absolute star at the college level. And I do believe that if it goes right, and I think there's no reason to believe it won't, if it goes right, there will be others that follow in the same footsteps and see this as a pathway to get to the NBA. Now, I don't anticipate him being in Provo very, very long. I would say 1 year. That's how good he is. He could be a lottery pick next year. So with that being said, enjoy him while he's there. Celebrate and try to build him up as much as possible within the community, within that team, and celebrate his stardom. Because if it works out right, it's going to continue to lead to more players coming down that pipeline, which will help stabilize BYU at the level that it needs to be in order to compete in the Big 12. You know, this is not the Mountain West. It's not the WCC. You look at the additions of schools like Arizona coming in now, and they might not be done with adding more programs into the Big 12, whether it's over the next couple of years or not. But you add Arizona into Houston, into BYU, into Baylor, into Kansas, into Iowa. I mean, like, it is a gauntlet. It is loaded. And every game is going to be difficult, and every game is going to be a challenge. You need stars. And if you don't have stars, it makes it a lot more difficult. Like, last year was lightning in a bottle for BYU. And my concern for BYU was sustainability based on how they played and the success they had a season ago. Were they going to be able to sustain that over an extended period of time inside the Big 12? And I think what Coach Young has brought to the table right now is that, yeah, he understands the kind of roster that he needs to have. I think the support from everybody that is associated with BYU has been there and has allowed him to make sure that his message has been clear. And it's been resonating with a lot of different players. And I think that I think he not only has lottery picks in this draft, but I think he has guys that are also going to be future pros. There's a young man that was originally committed to USC that I think is going to be a bona fide. Can we say his name?
Yeah, we can say his name. Brody Kozlowski.
Yep.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I just don't want people getting in trouble. Brody is a floor spacer for his size, and he is a physical rebounder. He's got a great motor. I think the upside for a guy like Brody is going to be huge. And I think there's two. The reason I bring him up is twofold. is, one, you can internationally hit home runs, you know, time and time again, but you still need to be able to recruit your state, and you still need to get the best players out of your state, your geographical footprint, to resonate a lot of times with people. And Brody is just that. You know, he's a Utah kid who had a great high school career. You look, he's a winner. He's won every step along the way. I know USC was very excited to have him under Andy Enfield. Obviously, coaching change there and the trickle-down impact of that whole situation now brings him to BYU. And I think he's a young man that's going to take some time, but I think he is going to develop and has the potential when he's done at BYU to maybe be an NBA player. And I think that when you start putting a roster together to compete inside the Big 12, it's really hard to compete for championships if you don't have guys that can compete at an NBA level.
ESPN's Sean Farnham on BYU Sports Nation, a man who only plays Madden at the all-pro level. He also discusses basketball at an all-pro level.
Can we talk? I was mentioning this off-air. You all need to get Kevin Connors in, my guy Kevin Connors. He's the voice of college football.
Bills Mafia!
I mean, and he's Bills Mafia, so why would you not love him? But you need to get him on, because is there anything more highly anticipated this summer, I mean, other than this roster that's been constructed for BYU basketball, than the arrival of EA Sports College Football 25?
Can't wait.
We do need to get Kevin Connors on the show. That's a great idea. We're putting in the request. We may use you to make that happen, Sean, if you're willing.
I know people. Go ahead. What's your next question?
You got it. On paper, Jeremy and I were just discussing this the other day on the show about raw talent. It feels like BYU is a more talented team right now under Kevin Young than they were last year. Chemistry and cohesion matter a lot in the college game. How far off is BYU as a team overall, even if they are more talented right now on paper than they were compared to last year's team?
I think better depth inside, obviously. That's been addressed with a couple of the transfers. You have better depth in the interior. I think you have a more talented player than anybody that was on the roster last year, and that includes Jackson Robinson, with that guy that we were just talking about that you guys aren't allowed to talk about. I think the roster's deeper. I think it's as talented. I think the returning components are huge. Getting guys like Richie back was huge. Dallin back is huge because there's some synergy and some chemistry that is already put into place. It's understanding how BYU does it. Now, obviously, it's how they do it is going to be very different under Coach Young. So you're learning a brand new system. So there's going to be some growing pains. The verbiage that is used by Coach Young is probably different than the verbiage that's used by Coach Pope and his coaching staff. So within that, there will be some growing pains. This roster, by the way, can also improve and finish seventh in the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, legitimately.
I mean, it's just the way it is. And I think that's the challenge for BYU fans, is to understand that the roster can be better. You can have a team that actually has better success in the NBA, the NCAA tournament, potentially. But you might finish lower inside the Big 12. And that's where the Big 12 is a gauntlet. And that's where the challenges lie, because this conference isn't laying down. I mean, again, I brought up Cincinnati. But go look at the fact that Caleb Love is back at Arizona. Like, Arizona's not going anywhere. You know, there's the depth of this conference has just continued to get stronger. It has not gotten weaker. Texas Tech has improved their roster with JT Toppin, who was at the NBA Combine that I was at a couple of weeks ago. And now he's going to Texas Tech. I don't know if we can say that. We'll just say that guy is transferring from New Mexico to Texas Tech. But there's the depth of this conference and the star power of this conference, because what it's done is the top tier of this conference has separated itself so much that how we looked at the ACC is now how we look at the Big 12. Like, we used to look at the ACC with the great depth and the top tier teams that had a chance to win national championships. You look at the way too early top 25, there's like four Big 12 teams in the top 10.
Yeah.
So again, this is where I say Coach Young's team could be better, more talented, deeper, and maybe even have more tournament success, and yet still finish in a worse position in the Big 12, if that makes sense.
And that'd be just fine, honestly. If you told me right now BYU finishes seventh, I would take it. I want to see the games, of course. But I think that would be tremendous, especially in year one. You alluded to...
I just want Big 12 eats with you again.
Like, that was fun, right?
Like, like the food coma that you and I went through, like as we ate all those different food concoctions that they came up with at the Big 12 tournament. And it actually helped me. I just want to let you know it actually helped me, because while I was there, like on set, I'd be really hungry. And then like I'd be like, you know what I want? And I knew exactly what I wanted from the stand because I'd already sampled it with you. So I'd like to, can we run that back again this year in Kansas?
The delicatessens were tremendous. Yeah. It was great. And the low-key orange creamsicle from UCF.
Very solid.
The citronaut something or other. It was great.
I don't know. I want that back, though. If I could learn how to make that at home in the off-season, outside of playing Madden, that would probably be the second thing I'd do.
Dude, it was just vanilla and orange soda. It's simple. You can put it together.
All right.
Come on. Okay.
I'll work on it.
So you alluded to some of this. If BYU finishes seventh, that'd be tremendous. But, yeah, what are expectations in year one? Because this is certainly a talented roster, but it's a first-year coach in college in the toughest league in America. How much leeway should BYU fans give Kevin Young and time to kind of figure it out? And what should the expectations be?
Expectations should be high. They should be high. And I think it starts with that. And I think Coach Young would tell you he wants expectations to be high. Now, he's going to temper those expectations based on the learning curve. And I think that's why this summer could be as important as any summer in BYU basketball history, based on the fact that the execution, the understanding of what he needs and what he requires this team to do has to be put into place over those summer workouts. And so your hope is that when you start up in the fall, after you're done and concluded your summer workouts, that everybody understands what their role is, what they have to do in order to be successful, and that there's not this, we got to slow down the process. And let's start the slow build back up here in the fall, because you guys have forgotten some of the things that we taught you over the course of summer. You need that retention from the summer workouts to carry through to the fall workouts. I would say because of the age of this roster and some of those components, I don't think that it's going to be something they're going to struggle with. I would anticipate them picking up things pretty quickly here and then allowing them to hit the ground running when they get back to the fall. Because once you start in the fall, it's all systems go. And I think that there's going to be a couple components to Coach Young. I think skill development, individual skill development is going to be huge. I think when you look at guys in the NBA, the individual workout stuff that they do, the preparation, how they do things differently than the college game, there are certain programs across the country that use more of an NBA kind of embodiment in how they play. I think Alabama, Nate Oates comes to mind, really, with how he utilized the analytics that the NBA has used in order to be successful at the college level. I do anticipate some of that similar kind of usage of NBA stuff hybrid in with obviously the college talent. There's certain things that Kevin Durant can do that Richie Saunders cannot do. And I'm just
and vice versa.
And definitely vice versa. But, you know, you look at it and you understand that there's a difference in talent. You understand that there's a difference in experience. And so it's going to be a hybrid and moving it in. I think Coach Young's going to be outstanding. I'm so excited when they made this hire. And I know we hadn't talked and I was supposed to come on one time, but I couldn't because of scheduling after he was hired. I mean, it's a home run grand slam hire. Mm. And you've already seen that pay off in the way that they've recruited and how they've reached out and expanded that recruiting base. Now it just comes down to him doing what he does best. And that's coaching hoop, loving hoop. You talk to everybody at the combine. I was talking to people. I was talking to Woj. I said, Woj, how good is Coach Young? Sean, easily could have been a head coach in the NBA. Easily. So you look at that and you're like, okay, you got a guy that could have been a head coach in the NBA coaching at the Big 12 at BYU. Like, BYU fans should be like, let's go. Coach Young should be like, let's go. And these players should be like, I am a sponge. Fill me up with as much as I possibly can hold and retain, you know, and I think if there's any player that looks at this coaching staff or looks at Coach Young and goes, well, we didn't do that way last year. Like, I would be like, just run, go. I'll see you in 45 minutes. And that's nothing against Coach Pope, but like you got to buy into what's being asked of you now. And you have to retain what's being asked of you now. You have to use the words that are going to be used at practice by this coaching staff now. And the quicker that they unselfishly give into that, I think you will get out of it more of what BYU fans are hoping to see when the college hoop season begins in November.
Sean Farnham technically in the offseason, but his analysis very much in midseason form. Sean, great to talk with you, man. Let's do it again soon, and good luck with the rest of your Madden game.
One question before I jump back on to Madden. Cougar tails, during the summer, you know, there's no sporting event for them to be sold at, so do they just stop production?
It's a good question.
They get them to the fan fests, so maybe we just need to have a fan fest in your neighborhood, and we'll make that happen.
Don't tell anybody, but they did take it out of state.
They did what?
They took it to Phoenix.
They took it to Phoenix. Yeah. They had the Cougar tail in Phoenix.
Did they have it in Dallas when we were there?
They did have it in Dallas.
Okay, nobody tell Sean. Okay.
You guys tell Tyson he's fired. Tyson, he is fired. That this is blasphemy. That if we can have Cougar tails in Phoenix, if we can have Cougar tails, where else was it? In Texas?
Yeah. Dallas, yeah.
We can't have Cougar tails brought to me at, whether it be the WCC tournament 2 years ago, whether it's the Big 12 tournament.
You need the BYU store, Official Outfitter, BYU fans everywhere, and the Kramer. You need those powers that be, right? You need those.
We're on it, Sean.
Yeah.
We're on it. Get us Kevin Connors, and we'll work on that.
I just want to make sure that everybody understands. The box is a great idea. Yeah. While I'm not on the box, you guys aren't on the box, I'm okay with that, because if it keeps the maple on the actual donut and not on the bag, now we've improved the overall quality of the Cougar tail. It's kind of like the roster for Coach Young.
Yes.
It's an improved roster for Coach Young, the Cougar tail box has improved the Cougar tail itself.
Sure. Take some time for fans to get used to it, but ultimately it will be way better.
Right, guys, I got to win this fourth quarter, so I'm going to go now. All right, but, well, man, did my – okay, good. I reconnected. Okay, I was concerned that I was disconnected. Oh, I'll talk to you guys later.
Happy maddening. Thanks, Sean.
See you, Sean. If you miss any compelling and rich interviews like that one, you can go to BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
Up next, which song title, or lyric for that matter, best describes BYU's current quarterback situation? We'll get creative, or attempt to, in the next segment. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation for updated Cougar Tail information on social media for Sean Farnham throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. No donuts here, but we do have a Spencer and a Jerem. Let's get to today's headlines.
It was a joke that I rescinded from saying in my mind right there. I'll tell you later. Men's basketball signs Mawit Mag from Rutgers. He has 1 year of eligibility after 4 years in New Jersey. Last season, the 6'7" forward averaged 9 points a game, nearly four rebounds, and a reputation as a defensive stopper. Big time get for BYU out of the portal. Excited for Mag to be in Provo.
BYU head basketball coach Kevin Young also announcing the hiring of Will Voigt as a lead assistant coach yesterday. Voigt spent the last season as the head coach of the NBA G League's Austin Spurs. Voigt has been a head coach, as mentioned, in the G League, Europe, and at the international level. He specializes in defense.
Twitter account Made for March reports the BYU men's basketball game in Provo against Central Arkansas will be on election night, Tuesday, November 5th. That would make it the season opener. We await official confirmation from the non-conference schedule release, whenever that is. Reminder that we've seen 7 of the 11 non-conference games reported or made official. Central Arkansas reportedly, as mentioned, on November 5th. Queens on November 13th. Bobby Hordeski's return. Idaho, November 16th. Two of these three in San Diego. Purdue, NC State, Ole Miss. Two Final Four teams, not bad. At Providence in the Big East Big 12 battle. And for some reason, at Wyoming.
BYU basketball's got my vote on election night.
Nice.
CBS Sports College Basketball insider John Rothstein, releasing his top 45 team rankings, has BYU number 36, saying, quote, BYU is in position to be in position after BYU's most recent roster additions. How do I translate that? Cougars are knocking on the door of the elite level college basketball teams.
That's like saying it is what it is. It's like, what? What? Former men's basketball assistant Nick Robinson is moving to Kentucky as the director of basketball operations. Spent the last 5 years with BYU.
We love Nick. Congratulations to him.
All the Robinsons go to Lexington.
Apparently. Former BYU golf standout and current PGA pro Zach Blair won a U.S. Open qualifying event yesterday to advance to compete in this year's United States Open at historic Pinehurst in North Carolina, which begins next week. Other BYU golfers, Cooper Jones, Tyson Shelley, and Angus Clintworth also competing in the qualifying event but missed the cut. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round was headed by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
ESPN's David Hale ranked all 134 FBS teams' quarterback situations heading into the season into tiers. BYU in tier 16 of 20. 20 tier. Which Hale called, "Hello Darkness, My Old Friend." Which song title would you use to label BYU's quarterback situation?
Citing the great Bonnie Tyler, Jerem, and the song title, "Holding Out for a Hero." These are the lyrics. Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night I toss and turn and I dream of what I need.
Very nice, very poetic, I like that.
What about you?
NF, hope. Yeah, I'm on my way, I'm coming. Don't lose faith in me. That's the hope, right? The BYU's quarterback situation is better than anyone thinks. One, because Jake Retzlaff hasn't played a ton in college. Played four games against good competition. Showed well in the final two games there. You don't like the 100-yard pick six, but he showed us some flashes. And then Gary Bohannon didn't play last year. You're hoping that he recaptures the 21 version of what he did at Baylor when they won the Big 12.
Jerem, humor me if you will. I continue. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. Cougs have been great at night, right? He's got to be strong.
I need a hero.
He's got to be fast. He's got to be fresh from the fight.
Nice.
I need a hero.
Let's buy that song and just play it. Can we?
No? Bonnie Tyler, okay. Delivering what we need.
Bonnie Fuller Tyler.
Again, your Cougar Whip Round, short but sweet, my friends.
So sweet.
Hey, after the break, results from the matchup in our best BYU quarterback bracket featuring Virgil Carter and Ty Detmer.
I wonder who's going to win.
Plus, today's 8-9 matchup is loaded. A master and his apprentice. And the apprentice has the better seed. BYU-SN.
Virgil.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Beck with all kinds of time.
We're watching one of the best college football players.
Beck finds him and it's a touchdown!
Get touchdown, Zach Wilson.
Back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. It is time for the latest in our best BYU quarterback bracket. Of course, over the decades, BYU has put out some of the top college football quarterbacks of all time, and we're trying to figure out who's the best to ever don a BYU uniform.
So in the month of June, we're going to take the top 16 quarterbacks and narrow it down to one. You're going to vote on X and Instagram for the best quarterback in BYU history.
We debuted yesterday with our first matchup in the bracket between the number one seed, Heisman Trophy winner Ty Detmer, and the first great quarterback ever at BYU.
He's already moved.
The 16 seed Virgil Carter.
Already
Ty
moving
Detmer,
on.
Not surprisingly, in a landslide, moving on to the second round with 95% of the vote. You were
Virgil
one of the 5% of Virgil,
I was.
Right?
Give Virgil his flowers, though. Love Virgil.
Okay, to our next first round matchup. And this is a doozy.
Dude, this is a good one.
The 8-9 matchup.
Let's go.
The 8 seed, Zach Wilson. What he pulled off of BYU, and the 9 seed, John Beck. There are some of you I know who are saying, blasphemy! That the master would not have a better seed than his apprentice. But here we are. The 8-9 matchup.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why Zach is the 8 seed, okay? Played at BYU 2018-20. 7,652 yards, 56 touchdowns, 15 picks, 15 touchdowns as a runner. Notable wins as a sophomore against USC and Tennessee.
Yep.
Junior year, 11-1 in the COVID year. Nearly 700 yards passing, 33 touchdowns, only 3 picks. 10 rushing touchdowns. 8th in the Heisman. That was first in the Heisman top 10 since Detmer in 91.
Oh.
Finished BYU as the program leader in completion percentage and efficiency. Those matter. Number 2 pick to the Jets in the 2021 NFL Draft. Highest pick in BYU NFL draft history. That is why Brother Wilson is number 8 seed.
The number 9 seed, John Beck.
Find this guy!
Played at BYU from 2003 to 2006, threw for over 11,000 yards in his career, 79 touchdowns to 34 interceptions, second team All-American in 2006 after leading BYU to an 11-2 record. and an outright Mountain West Conference championship. He's third all-time at BYU in career passing yards. Third. Fourth in career touchdown passes. Two-time first-team All-Mountain West, the Offensive Player of the Year in 2006 in conference, and a second-round pick in 2007 to the Dolphins.
Who are you going in this matchup?
I think John Beck's going to win this matchup.
Okay, it is what demo is voting? Because if it's the sub-40-year-old category, a lot of Zach fans. But if it's the 40-plusers voting a lot, it's John Beck. I think it depends on which demo is going to show up and vote.
Well, and voters are fickle.
We were in school with John. We know John well, but we covered Zach. Like, this is a hard one, dude. Who's the better quarterback? Oh my gosh.
That's why it's the 8-9
game. This is great fodder for June on our daily program.
Hopefully it comes down to like a 1% difference. Dude. That's what we're hoping for.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I don't know who I'm voting for yet. I don't know.
Who I'm voting for. I don't know who I'm voting for, but I think John Beck is going to win this matchup. Mm,
yeah.
I think John Beck and his cachet as a quarterback whisperer might give him, even though I had nothing to do with what he did to BYU.
I think John wins either way.
Okay.
Because if it's Zach, John wins. He's the one that tutored. You know what I mean?
Hey.
I'm not saying in the vote. I'm saying his influence on Zach was so good.
Okay. You know how to vote.
Yeah.
At BYU Sports Nation on X, or you can go to BYU Sports Nation's Instagram story. We combine the two votes, do the math, and then show you the percentages.
Zach's the 8th seed, but is he even the best of Wilson who played quarterback at BYU?
There's another.
That would go to Mark, would it not? College Football Hall of Famer?
He's a College Football Hall of Famer.
But Zach is the most recent, highest drafted guy ever in BYU history. Like
John
Jaren
Beck
Hall, 13th seed.
Delivered maybe the greatest moment in BYU football history.
Yeah, that would be Jim McMahon. But number two is John. Yeah, I feel you.
The fans
vote. This is fun, man. This is fun.
Oh, it's so fun.
Like, there's no right answer. This is crazy good. I love this.
You decide. Hey, we're just the presenters, okay? Don't kill the presenters or the messengers.
Oh, that'll happen anyway on Twitter.
Up next, following the recent Major League Baseball call-ups of Daniel Seaman and Justin Sterner, Top 5 Tuesday highlights the best BYU to MLB products. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Top 5 Tuesday on BYUSN Now, presented by ESS Dental Health Foundation, reminding you dental clinics are essential for your health. Learn more at visityourdentist.org, and Top 5 Tuesday features the top 5 BYU to MLB baseballers all-time. Start us off.
Yeah, we're thinking about Sterner and Schneeman over the weekend, right? So number 5, Corey Snyder, played at BYU 1982-84. That 83 team was ranked number 1 at one point. Drafted 4th overall by the Cleveland Indians. Played 9 years in the majors, 5 different teams. Drafted as shortstop, mostly played right field. Hit 247 in his career, 149 homers. Seeing some of the numbers, nearly 500 RBIs. Finished 4th in the 86 AL Rookie of the Year voting. Wally Joyner, 2nd.
Oh man, 4th overall, people forget that. Vance Law at number 4. Played at BYU from 1975 to 1978. Drafted in the 39th round by the Pittsburgh Pirates of the 78 draft, played 11 years in the MLB for 5 different teams, mostly at shortstop and third base. His best season with the Chicago Cubs in 1988 when he was named Major League Baseball All-Star. Lie at 256 for his career, 71 home runs, 442 runs driven in.
3, Rick Aguilera, 81-83, third rounder to the Mets, 16 years in the majors, mostly as a starter. Thrived in the bullpen for the Twins, 3-time All-Star, 18th in the AL MVP voting in 91. Won the 86 World Series with the Mets, picked up a win in Game 6, struck out over 1,000 batters, 318 saves, 24th most in MLB history.
At number 2, the aforementioned Wally Joyner, 81-83 BYU, drafted in the 3rd round by the California Angels in the 83 draft. First base spectacular, 16 years, best years at the Angels, Royals, and Padres. His rookie year in 86, he finished 2nd for AL Rookie of the Year and 8th in AL MVP. Hit just under 300 for his career, Jerem.
And number 1 is the only player in the Baseball Hall of Fame, Jack Morris, inducted in 2018. Played BYU 75-76 with the Tigers. Won three World Series with three different teams. Tigers, Twins, Blue Jays. 91 World Series MVP.
Woo! Twins. 91 World Series MVP.
Pretty good. That's Game 7, baby.
Good for number one. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Answering, would you take a 9 seed in Lunardi's latest bracketology or would you play out the season? At Guardy616 on Instagram says, this is tough. I think I'd play it out because it seems like it could be a really special year. Guys in jail. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union, BYU Athletics.
Zach Blair going to the U.S. Open. Congrats.
Our thanks to today's guest, Sean Farnham.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Gary Cooper. Go Cougs.